The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a really challenging work by, well, one of the most formidable public intellectuals of recent times, Christopher Hitchens, and his book, God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything.
Yeah, and it's fair to say this isn't exactly light reading if you're looking for, you know, a gentle chat about faith. Hitchens is building a case here, a really strong intellectual argument against theism.
He is. He argues that these belief systems, the ones rooted in the divine, they actively hold back human progress. They get in the way of human flourishing.
Absolutely. So our task today really is to kind of unpack his core arguments. Why does he make such a strong claim that religion poisons everything?
Right. And what tools does he give us, the reader, to think about this, to maybe ask ourselves, you know, is religion on balance a force for good in today's world?
Well, to get the force of his argument, you really need to understand the man himself. Christopher Eric Hitchens, born 1949, passed away in 2011, British-American author, journalist, I mean, a master of debate, Oxford educated, and his intellectual range was frankly, immense.
But it wasn't just book learning, was it? I mean, his perspective, what makes it so sharp, is also his background as a journalist. He saw things firsthand.
That's crucial.
Yeah.
Absolutely crucial. He wasn't just debating theology in a seminar room. He was a war correspondent. He was in the thick of it.
Where specifically?
Places like the Balkans, the Middle East.
Yeah.
Seeing religious extremism, sectarian conflict up close, that experience, that grim reality. It really grounds his arguments. It's not just theory for him.
Yeah, you can feel that on the page. And he was very specific about his own view, wasn't he? He didn't just say he was an atheist.
No, he identified as an anti-theist.
And what's the difference there, exactly?
It's a key distinction. An atheist simply lacks a belief in God. An anti-theist goes further. They believe that the idea of God and the religions built around it are actively harmful, that they should be opposed.
So it's an ethical stance as much as an intellectual one.
Precisely. He was a huge advocate for Enlightenment values, you know, reason, skepticism, free inquiry, free speech. That's where he was coming from.
Okay, so that brings us to the book's main point. The central thesis of God is not great.
Which is essentially that religion is fundamentally incompatible with rational thought, with science, and with human dignity. It poisons everything, as the title says, by promoting ignorance, authoritarianism, and violence.
It's a sweeping claim.
Hugely sweeping. It's not just targeting one religion. It's a philosophical broadside, really, and a historical one, against the whole concept of belief in the divine. He's aiming at the foundations of religious thinking itself.
The foundations, like how people justify their belief.
Exactly. What philosophers call the epistemological foundation, the how we know what we know part. Hitchens attacks the very idea that faith, believing without or sometimes against, evidence is a virtue.
He sees it more as gullibility.
Or willful ignorance, perhaps. He wants to dismantle the idea that belief without evidence deserves any respect.
But it's not just about tearing things down, is it? Does he offer an alternative?
Yes, definitely. By challenging the need for, as he might put it, a celestial authority figure, he argues that we can build meaning and morality on a foundation of reason, science, and secular humanism.
So taking God out of the picture makes the world more meaningful, in his view.
More fascinating, more reliant on human responsibility and wonder, yes. Freed from dogma.
Okay, let's get into the specifics then. How does he build this case? He starts pretty starkly with the claim that religion kills.
He does, and this chapter hits hard because he argues religious violence isn't some unfortunate misinterpretation. It's a logical outcome.
How so?
Well, if you believe your group has the absolute divinely sanctioned truth, you automatically create us and them, an in-group and an out-group.
And the them are wrong, dangerous.
Potentially damned, even. And if God is on your side, why would you compromise with heretics or infidels? Compromise becomes almost unthinkable. He traces this through history, crusades, inquisition, sectarian wars, right up to things like 9/11. He sees religion as this accelerant for conflict.
Making bad situations infinitely worse.
Exactly. Then he shifts focus a bit from violence to, well, truth claims. He has this great chapter title, The Tawdriness of the Miraculous.
Tawdriness, like cheap or flimsy.
Yeah, exactly. Poor quality. He argues that miracles, these supposed proofs of God's intervention, they just don't hold up under scrutiny.
No.
And he makes a very simple, modern point.
Shit.
Why did all the really impressive miracles seem to dry up just as we invented cameras? You know, verifiable recording devices.
Huh. That's a good point. It ties into that idea of belief retreating as science advances, right?
Absolutely. Believers are often trying to reinterpret or explain away the more, let's say, primitive or awkward parts of their own traditions,
yeah.
like a literal fiery hell. Many modern believers find that idea morally uncomfortable or just unbelievable, so they try to make it symbolic.
Because our understanding of the universe and maybe our ethics have moved on.
Right. And this collision between dogma and reality has real-world consequences, which he covers in a section on religion as a health hazard.
Okay, this sounds serious. Life and death, serious.
It really is. He documents how various religious groups have historically opposed major medical advances, things we take for granted now.
Like what?
Anesthesia, for instance. Some saw it as interfering with God's plan for suffering, especially in childbirth. Blood transfusions faced opposition, vaccines, and more recently, things like stem cell research.
Wow, and he connects this directly to harm.
He does. The most striking contemporary example he uses is the Catholic Church's stance against condom use, particularly in parts of Africa heavily affected by the AIDS epidemic. He argues that this adherence to dogma over basic public health measures led directly to preventable deaths on a massive scale.
It's a powerful illustration of prioritizing doctrine over well-being.
Definitely. And he applies that same critical lens, that refusal to grant special status, when he looks at the holy books themselves. His chapters on the nightmare of the texts.
He doesn't pull any punches there, I gather.
Not at all. He reads them like any other historical document written by people in specific, often quite primitive historical contexts. And when you do that, he says, the moral content can be, well, shocking.
What kind of things does he highlight?
In the Old Testament, for example, he points to passages that seem to condone slavery, command genocide, endorse indiscriminate killing, things that are abhorrent by today's standards.
But what about the New Testament, often seen as more ethical?
Hitchens argues it's actually more insidious in some ways.
Yeah.
He focuses on two concepts he finds particularly awful.
Okay, what are they?
The first is eternal punishment, hell. He sees this as morally grotesque, infinite torture for finite human mistakes. It's completely disproportionate. He calls it totalitarian, a divine dictatorship ruling through ultimate fear.
So the sheer injustice of it.
Yes. And the second concept is vicarious redemption. The idea that Jesus dying on the cross atones for everyone else's sins.
Which is central to Christianity.
It is. But Hitchens asks,
yeah.
What kind of just God demands a human sacrifice, even a willing one, to forgive people? He finds the whole notion of needing a blood sacrifice to appease divine anger primitive and morally repulsive.
So he's attacking the core logic of the theology itself.
Relentlessly. And these critiques feed into his broader themes, which have implications far beyond just religion.
Okay, let's talk about those core themes. What's the first one?
The first is the fundamentally man-made nature of all religions. He argues that if you actually read the texts critically, you see the fingerprints of their human authors all over them.
How so?
They reflect the biases, the limited scientific knowledge, the specific cultural norms, and frankly, the moral limitations of the time and place they were written. Not some timeless divine truth.
Which implies?
It implies that if they're human documents, we should judge them by human ethical standards, rational standards. We shouldn't give them a free pass just because they claim divinity. That's really empowering for the reader, I think.
Okay, that leads naturally to the next theme.
Yes, the foundational immorality of much religious morality. Hitchens argues that real morality, empathy, kindness, fairness, since expanding. It doesn't come from religion. It actually comes before it.
So we are naturally moral beings to some extent.
He thinks so. We inherently know or can reason that hurting others is wrong. We don't need a commandment delivered on a mountain for that. Religious morality, he claims, is often based on obedience to power, on fear of punishment, hell, or hope for reward, heaven.
Not on genuine ethical reasoning or compassion.
Exactly. True ethics, for Hitchens, comes from our shared humanity and our capacity for reason, not from celestial threats.
And the final core theme. This feels central to his whole project.
It absolutely is. It's the inherent hostility to free inquiries that he sees in faith. Faith, by definition, often requires believing things without or even against evidence. It asks you to suspend your critical faculties.
Whereas science does the opposite.
Precisely. Science thrives on questioning, on testing, on doubt, on being willing to revise or discard ideas when the evidence changes. He sees that scientific method as the philosophical opposite of religious dogma, which demands certainty and resists questioning.
So questioning the sacred is essential for progress.
For Hitchens, it's not just essential, it's a moral duty.
Now, Hitchens wasn't just about the arguments. His way with words was legendary. The book is full of memorable lines, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. He was a master rhetorician. He knew how to craft a line that stuck with you.
Give us some examples.
Well, the most obvious one is the title phrase itself. Religion poisons everything. It's blunt, provocative, and perfectly sums up his entire viewpoint. No ambiguity there.
None at all. What else?
Then there's his famous principle for evaluating claims, often called Hitchens' razor. What can be asserted without evidence can also be dismissed without evidence.
Yes. That puts the burden of proof squarely on the person making the claim.
Exactly. It's incredibly useful. Another quote kind of reveals his own intellectual journey. The only position that leaves me with no cognitive dissonance is atheism.
Meaning it was just too hard to reconcile faith with reason and evidence.
Yeah, he's saying that maintaining religious belief for him required too much mental gymnastics, too much ignoring of contradictions. Atheism felt intellectually cleaner, more consistent.
And one more, perhaps on morality.
Yes, the one we touched on. Human decency is not derived from religion. It precedes it. A direct challenge to the idea that you need God to be good.
Powerful stuff. So beyond the intellectual debate, how might listeners, you know, apply some of Hitchens' ideas or methods in their own lives?
That's a great question. Even if you fundamentally disagree with his conclusions about religion, his method is valuable.
How so?
Well, first, it's a masterclass in developing critical thinking. Take that Hitchens razor, demand evidence for claims, apply it everywhere. Politics, advertising, social media. Don't just accept assertions. Ask, how do you know that?
Be skeptical in a constructive way.
Yes. Guard against manipulation. Second, for those interested in public life, the book provides strong arguments for secularism. The idea that laws and public policy should be based on reason and evidence, accessible to all citizens, not on specific religious doctrines.
Keeping religion out of government decision-making.
Right. And third, on a more personal level, the book can offer a kind of personal liberation. For people who might be struggling with religious doubts, guilt, or fear, maybe fear of hell, or rules about sexuality, Hitchens offers a powerful validation of doubt.
Saying it's okay to question.
More than okay. He presents doubt and reason as virtues, not sins. It can be like an intellectual permission slip to trust your own judgment and potentially let go of fear.
Okay, wrapping up then. What was the most striking thing for you revisiting this book?
For me, it was probably the detailed, unflinching look at the content of the scriptures. We often get softened versions or focus only on the positive bits. Hitchens forces you to confront the parts that are deeply troubling by modern ethical standards. It really highlights how selective believers often have to be.
Yeah, the cognitive filtering, as you said.
Exactly. It makes you realize these texts aren't simple moral guides.
And for me, I think the biggest takeaway is the sheer force of his argument for intellectual honesty. The idea that we can find meaning, morality, even awe and wonder entirely within a naturalistic worldview without needing the supernatural.
Free from fear and dogma.
Right. It's a defense of human reason and courage, suggesting we don't need ancient myths for comfort when we have the capacity to figure things out for ourselves. A challenging idea, but a profound one.
Definitely a book that makes you think. Regardless of your starting point.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.